the security stumbles and the leadership shakeup have put the spotlight on the U.S. Secret Service this week. Late-night comedians are doing what they do in such moments.
The intruder got all the way to the East Room, which got worse when the Secret Service said, whoa, there's an East Room? I gotta take a tour of this place.
Of course, the Secret Service has long been fodder for Hollywood, as NPR national political correspondent Don Gagne reports.
Let's start back in 1939, when the U.S. Secret Service had an early star turn in the epic, okay, maybe it wasn't so epic, Code of the Secret Service, with leading man Ronald Reagan. Reagan played agent Brass Bancroft, who was headed off on assignment when another agent asked to tag along.
What assignment did you get?
The Treasury sticker.
Right down my alley. When do we leave?
Well, you'll have to include yourself out this trip, Gabby. Well, you couldn't go anyway. Aren't you guarding the president?
Nah, he went fishing again.
The agent as action hero. That's how the Secret Service was portrayed for decades. Then came the early 60s and the exploration of more comedic possibilities. This is from a musical written by the legendary Irving Berlin, his last show ever, called Mr. President. The character singing is the first daughter.
Service makes me nervous. When I am dating, they are waiting to observe us.
A side note, the musical premiered at the National Theater in Washington, D.C. Among those attending were the President and Mrs. Kennedy. As the years passed, it became a Hollywood tradition to milk the Secret Service for laughs. In the 90s, the comedian and actor Sinbad starred in this Disney feature called First Kit.
Secret Service agent Sam Sims has a style all his own.
Sims, what is that?
This is a black tie affair.
I know, sir, I got a cover. I'm black and I'm wearing a tie.
But now he's facing his most dangerous assignment, protecting himself from the president's son.
And for the grown-ups, there was guarding Tess with Nicolas Cage on the security detail for an eccentric and demanding former first lady played by Shirley MacLaine. The agents find themselves in a grocery store.
I need a price check and Lesueur baby peas.
They're on special today, 2 for $59.
Copy that, Doug, but I believe we've lost interest in peas. Repeat, lost interest in peas.
Then there's the action-adventure genre. Hollywood loves plots that put the leader of the free world at risk. And you can't do that without making the Secret Service look overwhelmed at best, inept at worst.
The most protected building on Earth has fallen.
The president is being held hostage.
That's Olympus Has Fallen from last year, not to be confused with the movie White House Down, also from last year. That one features a guy whose application to the Secret Service is rejected. He saves the day anyway.
This is John Cale. I'm in the White House.
They've taken the building and they're holding hostages,
including my daughter.
Alpha One, do you have the target?
Then there's the Secret Service agent as bad guy plotline. That was in Air Force One with President Harrison Ford. There are notable examples of the Secret Service being portrayed in a more realistic way, like on the TV series The West Wing. By most accounts, the gold standard is a Clint Eastwood movie from 1993, In the Line of Fire. He plays an agent who'd been on duty with JFK in Dallas.
For years, I've been listening to all these idiots on bar stools with all their pet theories on Dallas.
30 years later, Eastwood's character is still tormented.
I don't know why I didn't react. I should have reacted. I should have been running flat out. I just couldn't believe it.
Ultimately, the secrecy that surrounds the United States Secret Service is the thing that fuels its allure and its mystique for storytellers. And it's that characteristic that will continue to make the agency so irresistible to the world of popular culture, with or without more troubling episodes like those revealed this week. Don Gagne, NPR News, Washington.